God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 11. Verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived, that is what God has prepared for those who love him. Paul is quoting Isaiah 64, verse 4, which says, really, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who works for those who wait for him. But Paul wants to add something that is equally as true, that besides the eye and the ear not perceiving what God does, so also the mind has not even conceived it. So he also takes up a line from Isaiah 65:17. Maybe the whole line is, the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Now, Paul is not adding to Scripture or subtracting from it, but combining truths from more than one place to illustrate a doctrine. He is showing that God's plan was unknown to man and is unknowable apart from the Holy Scriptures. Verses 10 and 11. But God revealed it to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except God's Spirit. Depths frighten us because they're dark, unknown, and lethal. I sink into the miry depths, Psalm 69, is not a cry of triumph, but a terror. Such depths are hiding places, places of sin, places of no return. But in God there is no terror, no sin. The depths of God are his innermost will, his everlasting love, his limitless compassion, and his brilliant glory. Considering the depths of God also plunges us thoroughly and deeply, simply to consider the Scripture's term without any desire for a pun, into the doctrine of the Trinity. Since verse 11 takes us into the same teaching, saying that the Spirit knows what the Father knows, we might remind ourselves of some of the basics about the Trinity. First, in God are the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is one divine essence, subsisting in three persons. Now, a very full explanation of this is, of course, the Athanasian Creed, but while there are three persons of the Trinity, it is also true and correct that God is one. Second, the internal marks of the Trinity are these. First, that the Father works by the Son, or works rather with the Son by begetting, and with the Spirit by breathing. Now, we might want to cite John 14, 16, and maybe 26 here, but Jesus is talking in those places about the order of salvation, so we need to be careful about applying those verses. Yet the very names of the Spirit, Ruach in Hebrew, Genesis 1:2, and Pneuma in Greek in Mark 1:12, describe a being who is breathed out or blown. Second, the Son, like the Father, breathes the Spirit. The Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of the Son. The Son sends the Spirit just as the Father does. And the third point here is that the Spirit, unlike the Father or Son, simply proceeds from the Father and the Son. John 15, 26. The external marks of the Trinity are the usual roles that Scripture assigns to each person. For the Father, creation and preservation. For the Son, redemption. And for the Spirit, sanctification. Finally, there is a third part to our description of the Trinity, and that is permeation. This is in many ways incomprehensible, but it means that now and from eternity, one person of the Trinity is always in the other. It has been called a constant interpenetration. These are big words, I realize, to explain precisely what's meant by Paul's words in our verse. No one knows the thoughts of God except God's Spirit. God, or the Godhead, is therefore an undivided unity. Now, a question that comes up right away is the relationship between the incarnate Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. The whole divinity was and is incarnate in Christ, which is to say God is Christ and Christ is God. But only the nature of the Son, for neither the Father nor the Holy Spirit became human. Now, this is probably a good point, maybe it's an excellent point, to stop this search into the nature of the Trinity, although, wow, we could go on for a while before we become overwhelmed or befuddled. But we have here the truth in a few excellent pieces. Let's just review. One, God is one, yet three persons, that is to say, triune. Two, the three persons are each God, but each one interacts with the others in different ways. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father. The difference is not one of time or of modes, but of existence. Three, the Father is the creator and the preserver. The Son is the redeemer, and the Spirit is the sanctifier, the one who creates and preserves faith, and who inspired the scriptures to be written and transmitted. Fourth, each person of the Trinity permeates, exists within, fills the others. But only the Son is Christ, who is nevertheless also truly and fully God. He is not a fourth person in the Godhead, but the Son incarnate in human flesh. These are some of the depths of God, but only some of the more obvious landmarks as we consider who God is and what he has done for us. He is our maker and our preserver, our savior. Praise him for who he is and for his mercy and in rescuing us. As the psalm says, O come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We give him glory, honor, and thanks, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.